We all have a deep yearning to be loved, to be known, to be accepted. And ultimately, that connectivity cannot be found just through screen time. And that's the challenge and the frustration and why so many of us emotionally and relationally are wilting behind our screens. We look nice, we put on our smile, we do our Zoom meetings and calls, and yet in the midst of that, we are wilting, we are dying, we are lonely in the midst of all that is taking place. People are desperate for a sense of genuine connection. And yet, the pervasive problem of loneliness and isolation continue to devastate. And so this is where we are at. This is the challenge in our lives, pre-COVID-19, and especially now, today. Jesus reminds us, as he uses this illustration, that he is the one vine, and we are his branches. Thirdly, we're reminded that true connectivity is the heart of transformational, genuine community. Jesus says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you." No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Scriptures give us a vision of what true connectivity looks like when the branches remain in the vine. Life truly flows, and we begin to live out what the heart of the gospel calls us to be the hands and feet of Jesus himself. We are given a picture of what it looks like when this life-giving connection takes place within one another. As we remain connected to him, we begin to honor one another, Romans 12. We begin to accept one another. We bear with one another our burdens, our pain, our wounds. We forgive graciously one another. We pray for each other, we cheer, we challenge one another. We also confront, we admonish out of concern and genuine care and love. We warn one another, we teach, we instruct one another. When we are abiding in the true vine, this kind of connectivity, this kind of life begins to emerge. Connectivity that goes back to the one who is the true vine is the heart of genuine community. And this is what we desperately need and what we are looking for. When we are abiding in the vine, our life-giving Savior, Jesus, our relationships that are centered upon him begin to reveal what the life and ministry and love of God himself looks like among a bunch of people who are in relationship with one another. Sadly, often within the church, and this could be a little controversial to say, often our relationships within the church are marked more by false connectivity than ones that genuinely thrive in the midst of the most desperate of times. There's nothing wrong with missing one another. There's nothing wrong with forming close relationships within the church and finding one's close friends. But unless there is an intentionality in remaining and abiding in Jesus, the true vine, we can quickly devolve, even within the church, to become just Christianized hangout buddies. Just because you're Christian and you hang out together with one another doesn't necessarily produce a kind of life-giving community, there must be intentionality. I think a good question you can ask yourselves is, if it becomes awkward to ask, as the early covenanters did, how goes your walk with Jesus? If it is awkward to end your time together in prayer, lifting one another up to our Heavenly Father, we need to reevaluate the quality of our relationships that provide the connectivity of community in our lives. I hope that it's never awkward to ask one another, how goes your walk with Jesus? People desperately need to be asked that question. And yet we within the church often neglect to take advantage of the one who is the true vine, the one who gives life, and ask one another the questions that reconnect us back to him and center that community in the person, life, and love of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that in every relationship, friendship, time you're just chilling and hanging out, that you gotta turn into a church service. You have to sing a hymn, do a responsive reading, cite Leviticus and the Psalms, and then you could eat your pizza. I'm not saying that. But we need more than just a shared history or the wonderful comfort that comes with long-term friendships. They're great things. But with intentionality, we need to recenter ourselves back to the true vine in order to thrive in the midst of the most desperate of times. And so fourthly, and related to this, is my final point this morning. We must fight for true connectivity. You gotta fight for it. Though, as children of God, adopted as once lost children, found in the person of Jesus Christ, we are forever his, yes. But without that daily recentering, without once again a corporate worship, uniting our hearts, recentering back to the true life-giving vine, we will drift to a false, superficial connectivity, even within the church. We have to fight for true connectivity in our lives with an intentionality that recenters ourselves back to him as we rediscover and re-encounter him in his word and as our hearts are united by his spirit through prayer. As we engage and living out the realities of God's kingdom, as we serve our neighbors, we recenter back upon him. We must fight for true connectivity at an individual level within your own families and as a faith community. There must be a fight that takes place for this kind of genuine connectivity. It goes against the grain of our natural individual independent selves. And often we give many, many excuses of why we don't really want to stay connected too deeply. We're too busy. Our lives are crazy. We're barely making it, getting the kids to their, well, this is pre-COVID, getting them to their lessons and sport events and work and ministry and community events and responsibilities. We don't have the bandwidth. I'm just too busy. But if we realize what we're missing out on, we would clear out our schedules to find a community and relationships that give us that life-giving connection. Too messy. We don't want people to get to know us, so we keep them at arm's length. We smile, we're cordial, we're kind, we're nice, we're pleasant. But if you really get to know me, you don't know how messy I am. We often avoid genuine connectivity with others because not only are our lives messy, but so are theirs. And I have enough mess to deal with on my own. It's just too messy. Let's keep it clean, superficial, cordial. That's fine. Another excuse we give is people are just too different. Generationally, culturally, ethnically, spiritually. People are too different. But if the one who is the true vine, the one who is that mediator, that bridge to connect a rebellious fallen humanity to a holy God can bridge that gap, in him, even the greatest barriers in our culture can be overcome. The needs of both believers and unbelievers are very similar. We all struggle with our emotions. We struggle in our families. We don't know how to allow our kids to thrive best. We try different things. We're frustrated. Marriages struggle. We have the same struggles with one another. We're not that different once we get beyond the superficial layers and get to the heart of what is a human being. And God's word applies to every aspect of our lives, and Jesus is the Savior of all. We cannot hide behind that excuse. We're too different. Some of us are too wounded. I've tried to get connected before with the church or ministry, a small group, and I was rocked. I was deeply hurt and disappointed, and you write people off. Never again. I can never open my life and trust people again. I'm too wounded. Another excuse, we're too fearful. What could this look like to open up my life and my family to another? Maybe you're just too comfortable. Maybe you're too self-sufficient. But unless we can experience the connection, this connectivity that flows from the true life-giving vine of Jesus, we will struggle to thrive in the most desperate of times. For God has designed us for connection and community, life-giving connectivity. Jesus came from the heavens down to earth. He battled up through the cross and to the tomb, of which he conquered and rose in his glorious resurrection. From his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and his continual ministry for us, he did all that so that we could experience a connectivity with him and with others that sin broke in Eden back in Genesis 3. You see, once you experience this kind of connectivity in your lives, you will never be the same again. You cannot go back. It will transform you. And it is how we receive the life of Christ in us. The one who knows us, created us, and made us for connection with him and with others, ourselves, and our world. Genuine connectivity is essential in order to thrive in the most desperate of times. And so bringing it all together in this time of COVID-19, what we are experiencing is not normal. Let's keep that in mind. I shouldn't be preaching to an empty sanctuary. I shouldn't have to do Zoom meetings just to see how a young couple is doing in my church and community. This is not normal, but this is our reality temporarily right now. Our connectivity is virtual, it is digital, and there's not much we could do about it. But in light of this message, I want us to take time to evaluate our connections, our relationships, and our community. During this downtime, although probably you're still pretty busy, take time to evaluate. Take time to anticipate what your lives could be like when you experience that genuine connectivity, as you dream together And as you take seriously Jesus' words in John 15, and the warning that I like to give for all of us, including myself and my family, please be careful of not getting so used to being disconnected from genuine community and relationships and to Jesus, that when it's time to meet once again, and we pray soon, we'll wait and see when that will be. But when that time comes, don't stay in your disconnectedness. Don't stay in your false connectivity. Do not become an island to yourself or just your family. Just me, my loved ones. Who needs connectivity? Who needs community? Who needs the church? Jesus never talked about just Jesus and me, but it's Jesus and we together. The vine and the branch? No, the vine and the branches to produce a beautiful harvest. A new wine found in him that will bring the celebration of heaven down to earth to people that are desperately looking for that kind of connection, joy, and experience. About 10 years ago, August 5th, 2010, we all heard and stayed glued to our televisions about the 33 trapped Chilean miners in the San Jose copper gold mine. They had a little bit of food, some water, they rationed. But eventually, without that connection to the outside world, they would have perished. But because of the rescue efforts, the life-saving tunnel was dug, and finally, they were located, and one by one, they were literally resurrected to earth through that escape tunnel. It reminds me of what happens when we are disconnected from one another and live in that isolation. It is like the cave of darkness. We're running out of time. We eventually will fade away. And our connection to Jesus in John 15, as we are reminded of, and to one another, is like that rescue tunnel. It brings the light and life of the one who made us and loves us back into our lives. This is what we desperately need. This is how we thrive in the midst of the most desperate of times, like today in COVID-19. And so as we eagerly anticipate a gradual reopening in our state and our nation, as we think about the summer, evaluate your relationships, your connectivity to others, to God. Anticipate and dream of what it could be like as we look at this passage and as Jesus points to himself. And warn yourself of staying in that disconnection even when things open back up. I hope that we would be reminded of how important connection is in order for us to find life. I end with a challenge by Pastor David Jackman. So the Christian church should be a community of love, unlike any other human society. It is true that the church exists, yes, for those who are not yet members, but it is also true that the love among her members should be one of her most powerful magnets. Such love is the ultimate apologetic. It is the ultimate winning argument. It is a way we persuade people to find their connection to life, to the one who gives true life, Jesus, rather than finding false connectivity in just hobbies and friends and food. Those are not bad things. But how much more awaits if they could find a connection to the one who can give them true life. Four questions you can take a moment to think about as we end in terms of discussion of what we call our church chat questions, what are some of your favorite activities you love to do with others? And I see them all on social media, so talk about that. What do you learn about the vine and the branches here from John 15? Why is true connectivity so important? Not only pre-COVID, now COVID, but post-COVID-19. And can you, if you're honest with yourself, identify with any of these excuses we often give? Too busy, too messy, too different, too wounded, too fearful, too comfortable, I'm too self-sufficient. May the words of Jesus stick to your mind and hearts as you continue to journey through this pandemic with us, as things begin to slowly open up. May God's word, may the person of Jesus, may the people of Jesus speak a message to your soul of how you can thrive through genuine life-giving connectivity, even in the most desperate of times. Let's pray together. We give you thanks, Father, for this tremendous warning and challenge of how you are the true vine. We confess that we often try to find that connection in life through many other things, none of which are bad in and of themselves, but how much more awaits the one who calls himself the life-giving true vine. I pray, Father, that as we realize how precious connections are in this time of isolation and social distancing, as things begin to open up, I pray that we would evaluate our past relationships in connection to you and to your community, your people, the church. I pray that we would anticipate and dream of what life could be like when we are connected back together in community to you. And may we warn ourselves of staying disconnected even when we can get back together. For sin loves to alienate and isolate, while Jesus wants to bring together, to allow life to flow, to bring connection back into our lives. I pray for anyone that you have spoken to today through your word. I pray, Lord Jesus, let me find that connection. I'm desperate for it. I find it in you. Show me what it's like to experience that life-giving connection in you and with others and even myself. Help me, Lord Jesus, to experience this in your name. I receive you. Lord, I connect with you by faith. Thank you, Lord. We commit everything to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.